Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, the rest of you, hold up your Bible. Let me see that you are fanatical Christians. And you actually bring, what is that? Oh, that's a phone. Y'all fanatic over here? Not bad, not bad. Ethel's got a phone. Bless your heart. Where's Daryl? You got a Bible, Daryl, or you use a tablet? You wouldn't know how to turn it on, huh? I want you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8, as most of you that were here last week, and I've never been a preacher that has to do, well, it's almost Christmas, and so let's do a giving message, you know. Because I believe the Word of God is Christmas every Sunday. Well, it's every day. Can you say amen to that? But I've been ministering, and I think it's vital that we don't stop. Matter of fact, I'll be here next Sunday, and I'm going to continue to move in an area that we just need to understand that there is a difference in a believer's life. And I say that to just help all of us understand if Jesus is Lord, then you're a believer. You're a son, you're a daughter of God. Now all of us and all creation is made in the image of God. But as most of you know, and we don't have to, you know, get into that basic teaching that probably all of us know, that, you know, we did not have a sin nature until Satan got kicked out of heaven, came on the earth, and then tempted Adam and Eve, right? And they fell to that temptation. And thank God, our Father was brilliant by sending His only begotten Son, Jesus. And the reason Jesus came is that so that He can free us from flesh. He can free us from the nature that Adam and Eve created by being tempted and then fallen to the enemy, Satan. That we can be set free from that nature of sin and death. Sin and death. And sin and death, when you understand it, is flesh. Now, you have to remember that you are not flesh. You're a spirit that lives in a fleshly body that then has a soul. That's why you've always probably heard the terms spirit, soul, and body. It's because when you give your heart to Jesus, the spirit man is what gets born again. It lives in a fleshly body that you need to probably crucify daily, because it'd act up. Say amen to that. But you have a soul, and your soul is your mind, your will, emotions. And all three of them need to be in line. They need to be in unity. But obviously, because of that sin nature, then a lot of people don't get taught sometimes about the difference between the spirit and the flesh. And if you are ruled by the flesh, it's going to cause you major problems. Now, if you live by the flesh, more than likely you're not born again, but I'm not going to judge that. And I've always said that I'm not going to judge anyone's salvation. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, praise God, you're born again. But we understand, though, being born again, you can still do some things fleshly. So what we're trying to do at church or in Christianity is help each other understand the difference between living in the spirit or being flesh-minded. And obviously, we don't want to be flesh-minded, but that temptation is there all the time. Because we live in a world that's full of the temptation to live by the flesh. Really, Romans 8 teaches us a lot of things about how to overcome the flesh and just stay in the Spirit. And in order to stay in the Spirit, it's just living by the Word of God. Not being afraid to hear a preacher literally say that there's something about holiness. Let me say that again. Is this on? Wake up. There's something about a preacher, or just you as a saint, you as a believer in Jesus, to say there's something and understand and recognize it, that there's something about holiness and living that way. I'm not talking about an old religion or religious ways because you live the way grandmama did and mama did and so on. No, I'm talking about just the understanding that there's something about living in the Spirit or being tempted to stay in fleshly ways. And so Romans trying to help us. And the reason that this message was birthed a week or two ago is because I'm starting to see motivation not being there in people's lives. They're not staying motivated to stay hooked with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that, and you don't want to be one of these people that falls away from the faith in the last days. Uh-uh, don't you dare. You stay hooked with your God. And if someone hurts you, that's a fleshly thing called offense. And we're going to hear a lot of stuff like that, but we've just got to start getting revelation. And I'm not going to preach the first part of Romans chapter 8 again. I already did that last week, but you need to understand that the reason that I believe this was written is because it's a system of operation called the Spirit of Life. And when you understand that the Holy Spirit carries out in our lives this system of living, which is holiness, which is by the Spirit, by the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God. Because this is our manual. This is how we are to live. So in order to live by the Spirit, it's just following the ways of this book. That's why in Matthew the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God is just a method on how we're supposed to live here on earth like in heaven. And I've always quoted the prayer that Jesus taught us. The Catholics know it well. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now slow down when you get to this part, because that's where it makes more sense. Thy kingdom come where? Here on earth like in heaven. And then it goes on, give us this day our daily bread, and so on. Forgive us of our sin or debts as we forgive those who have sinned or have debts against us. You know, lead us not into temptation, Lord. Well, he's not going to. He's not going to lead it, but man, that flesh will, right? Okay, so the point is when you seek first the kingdom of God, it's just a way of living, a method of living here, like in heaven, and it's all found in the Word of God, which is the Spirit of the Lord, you see. Okay, so so what we find out is that this holy life Spirit that should be in our lives continually breaks the dominion over the old law. The old law referring to you have to serve God. And you don't have to. Y'all realize that, right? But man, it's a pleasure to serve God. Because we should want to serve the Lord. And we're going to start learning to stay motivated when the enemy tries to attack you, or you're living in a world and you're seeing the cares of the world and all the crud that happens in the world. If you live by the Spirit of God and you live by the Word of God, which is, again, the Spirit of God, you'll overcome. You'll overcome constantly. Now, you're still going to have to crucify flesh, and you're going to have to understand that your flesh constantly is warring against the Spirit. And the enemy wants you to live by the flesh. I don't have to probably spend a lot of time on the works of the flesh. As a believer, you should know the works of the flesh are anything that is opposite of our God. The works of the flesh is anger. I mean, all the junk, murdering and drunkenness and all those fleshly things that you read about in Ephesians, the works of the flesh, we don't want to be about that as a believer in Jesus. We want to be about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy. Amen. You know, I want peace in my life. I want peace in this church. But if you don't understand that the flesh is warring against the Spirit, it's going to mess you up. You're always going to be, the enemy's always going to trick you into minding the things of the flesh. And we're, as you find out in Romans 8, in the first part of these first verses, to walk according to the flesh is to follow the sinful desires of one's old life. Now, your old life is before you gave your heart to Jesus. That's the old man or woman. But when you give your life to Jesus, the one that we're celebrating his birth, and then a few months after that, we're going to celebrate his resurrection, praise God. I saw on the news, y'all, where half of this country, let me get down here for a second, half of this country doesn't even know what the resurrection of Jesus is. Well, that's why we're here. That's why we're preaching. That's why you come to church to not just hopefully, you know, be seen, but you get something out of you coming to this church or to a church that preaches the Word of God. Because it's the Word that makes us free. Say amen to that. So, we still got to start learning how to stay motivated when the enemy's trying to attack and the enemy's trying to get us to be led by the flesh, to do fleshly things, again, sinful things, instead of learning that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, in the midst of these messages, don't you dare, because you should have read the very first verse, don't you dare get into condemnation or guilt because you have done things that aren't holy. Y'all know my testimony. Thank God God doesn't remember it, but people do. The very first part of this chapter is, it says, therefore there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. So when you're talking about being led by the Spirit and not the flesh, just because we've done fleshly things in the past, even if it was this morning, we're not to live by condemnation. Because we're in Christ Jesus. We live under grace, under mercy, under forgiveness, and that's worthy of a shout of praise. Amen. Because thank God for that, you know. Because what happens is when you don't understand that we're under grace and mercy, then, man, you're guilt-ridden all the time because we're tempted to, you know, not say the right things or whatever, make mistakes. But what we're learning here, though, is that if you want the fruits of the Spirit and you want peace and joy and patience and all those good things that God wants from us, don't live in the flesh and have an understanding that God just wants you to live for Him. Then if there's a mistake that's made, thank God for grace and mercy and forgiveness. And the good thing about forgiveness is God, when you confess the sin, he forgets about it and throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Remember, the word says he remembers it no more as far as the east to the west. So keep that in mind when we're studying the spirit versus the flesh. So don't get all upset just because you've done some things wrong or you're not perfect right now. What we're doing at church is trying to attain perfection. We're just trying to have an understanding that the enemy doesn't have to defeat us all the time. That we have victory in Christ Jesus if we live by the Spirit and not the flesh. In order to do that, we got to get understanding of the two. What do they mean, you see? All right? And what it also helps us, if we live in the Spirit, we live by the Word of God, we live fanatically as Christians. Not ashamed to pray. I mean, my family, they look at me when we're eating in a restaurant. You gonna pray? And if I forget and take a bite, whoo, Jesus. The water is divided, man. Dad, did you eat? Yeah. Father, bless the food in and out, in Jesus' name. Right? But I'm not ashamed to pray, even if people are listening, because I'm a believer in Christ Jesus and I want to live by the Spirit. Now, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I can promise you I'm not going to back off. Okay. In order to stay motivated in the Word of God in all areas of life, living in a world, continue to do things of the world like rodeo, like being a husband and a wife and a mom and a dad, etc., being a good hand on your job, having good business, is the reason that we live in a world is we still going to have to live by the Word of God as Christians and not live by the flesh. So all through this Word of God, God helps us to stay motivated to live by the Word, by the Spirit of God and nothing else. So let's keep being motivated. Let's start reading in verse 12. Romans 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not, you should underline that word, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. Now, look at me just for a minute. Don't get all confused here. We're not necessarily saying dying physically, which can happen. Because, I mean, anybody that's in the flesh, thinks wrong, does wrong things, and could get into an area where they're killed. But really, a lot of times it's more talking about your spiritual life. That, man, there's ways that spiritually you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God only means God's ways of doing things. I'm not talking about salvation, y'all. Now, I said earlier that if you're just a fleshly person and you don't have any desire to serve God, you need to get saved. You need to give your heart to Jesus, because when you truly give your heart to the Lord Jesus, man, God covers the multitude of sin, and I mean your spirit is reborn. And when it's reborn, it wants to learn about your God, Jesus. And it has that desire. Well, if you don't have that desire in any way, then, you know, especially if you're here or watching, you need to give your heart to Jesus. And when you do, then you start learning. And so when it's talking about you won't inherit the kingdom of God or if you live by the flesh, you'll die. If you're born again, you have that helmet of salvation on, then thank God you're going to go bust heaven open, wide open when you leave this earth. But why would you want to leave early? Why? I mean, if you don't inherit the kingdom, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God and all of that, And you could die before it's time for you to die. And people do it all the time because they've never learned how to live in the Spirit. They've never learned that, hey, you know what, when I am making a decision in life, I want to ask God, what does He think first? When I'm talking about some new things that are going to happen the first of the year that me and my family talked about, and we haven't discussed it with anybody, and I'm going to have a leadership meeting, and then we'll start doing a few things different just between, you know, me and my wife, and we're going to grow this church to be mighty men and women of God that are not afraid to go out in the highways and byways and lead people to Jesus. And you're not going to be afraid to lay hands on the sick right at a gas station when someone says that the doctor told them they have cancer. Man, we're going to have people from this church and beyond that literally do what the Word of God says, that do the work of the ministry. And when you hear someone even at a gas station say, hey, you know, when you just politely say, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? And then they share, well, not very good. Why would you wait or not go ahead and do what the Word of God says? Because this is Spirit. Why wouldn't you say, well, let me pray for you? You mean in front of everybody? And we're going to start teaching a lot more in depth, called discipleship as well, that we've got to do the work of the ministry. And we've got to let people know that there's power in the name that's above every name, Jesus. Amen. And we've got to start being fanatical in these days so that people don't have to die and go to hell. But they don't also have to live here on this earth in sickness and disease when us believers can just set them free by living in the Spirit, by saying the things of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm talking about you'll start looking. When people are hurting, you'll start looking, not to embarrass or anything like that. You've got to be Holy Ghost led. But when there's someone that London is around in the barrel racing that is hurting, when you live by the Spirit of God, she'll discern the ones, and even if they're hiding the hurt, she'll be able to discern just to maybe not preach at them, not to feel like you have to be a preacher, but just to say, hey, I just wanted to tell you how much God loves you. And you know what that'll mean to a girl that no one knows her pain or hurt? When a believer like London or like you says, hey, I just want to tell you how much God loves you. And then just walk away. I mean, you know, that will move mountains in people's lives. That is living by the Spirit. But if we're living by the flesh, and we're debtors to the flesh, we're not going to think that way. We're going to be selfish. It's all about me. But in Christianity, it's not about you, it's about Him. And then it's about others. Because if it's about others, you'll be blessed, man. Why? Well, because the principle of seed time and harvest will come into your life. When you sow love, when you sow a blessing, when you sow encouragement, that is doing things by the Spirit. But the flesh will want you to, I don't have time for them. I need to tend to my business. And that's being fleshly, y'all. Instead of, no, I want to be about you. Because if I'm about you, I'm going to be blessed. When I start saying, you know what, hey, I know some things have happened, you know, this week and you know, this could be prophetic, you know. I know some things have been happening in your life at your job, and I know there's been pressure. I know there's been some things that's caused you to be really stressful, have anxiety. It might be a relationship. But I just wanted to tell you, hey, don't you worry about that stuff. Don't you worry about that stuff. I got your back. Your righteousness goes before you, brother. And the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. Remember? So count it all joy. Count it all joy. Well, see, that's the spirit. You got this, girl. And when you live in the spirit, guess what it's going to do? It's going to just cause people to be lifted up. Now, real fast, check this scripture out, see? And all we're doing is trying to stay motivated. 13, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, you actually received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, you'll know if you're living by the flesh, or you'll know if you're living by the Spirit. If you cry out to everything other than Abba, Father, you're living by the flesh. But if you have this heart to say, God, I need you in my life. I need your wisdom. I'm telling you, that's a person that's living in the Spirit, crying out to Abba Father. Because see, that's where we are to be, is we are to be crying out, I need you, Lord. Not the banker first. I always should say this. I'm not against bankers. Because there's bankers that come to our church. I'm for bankers. I want to cry out to Abba Father first, though. Amen? Now, check it out. It gets even better. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Now, you've got to remind yourself, look at me. You've got to remind yourself sometime that you're a child of God. Because the devil, through the flesh, will try to remind you that you're no count. You're no good. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. You're not worthy. But the spirit man doesn't say that. Your spirit man, being born again by Jesus, always says, uh-uh, no, I'm worthy because Jesus is my Lord. I'm the head. Remember? All the things that God says. You are worthy. You are someone in Christ. And when you start saying that to yourself, it bears witness to the Spirit that you're children of God. Then it even gets better here, y'all. Check this out. And if your children, look at me real fast, don't read on. I know y'all all did already. I want you to say, I'm a child of God. Say it out of your mouth, because a lot of people can't say that. You know what they say instead? What the devil tells them, what the flesh says. They say, nope, I'm just no count. I'm no good. I'm not worthy. But what we're trying to do is we live by the Spirit. And when you live by the Spirit, you start confessing what a child would confess. I am worthy. I'm God's favorite. That's what you should be saying about yourself. But when you live by the flesh, what does the flesh say? You're just an old sinner saved by grace. You're just a sinner. I'm telling you, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, don't you ever say out of your mouth again that you're a sinner. You are not a sinner. You may sin, but you're not a sinner. Why? Because you're saved by God's grace. That's living by the Spirit. You're just saying the Word of God. All right? It goes on. If you're a child of God, and all of us have said it, right? Or do we need to say it again? Let's all say it again, class. I am a child of God. Say it with conviction. I am a child of God. If you can't say that, you got to get saved. You got to know that you're a child of God. Because if you're a child of God, look what it says next. If you're children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God. Oh, man. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're an heir of God, and it even gets better. You're a joint heir with your Christ. your Savior, your Jesus. So you're an heir of God. What does an heir get? Has anybody ever been given an inheritance of any kind? Raise your hand. It's pretty good, isn't it? Unless you get the debt. But usually, you don't get just debt. You get mama's ring. You get the diamonds. You get the land. That's an inheritance, praise God, right? You get the good stuff. You get mama's old quilt that great-grandmama made. The good quilts, y'all. Oh, now don't get in the flesh because you'll start fighting over the possessions, right? If you're an heir of God, everything that God has said and who He is and His dominion, His dunamis power is available to you as a believer because you're His kid. God wants the best for His children. You can't find anywhere in this word where God wants you to be defeated. But you can find all through the word where He wants the flesh to be defeated. And then you're a joint heir with Jesus? Well, think about what all Jesus did. And you're an heir, a joint heir with Jesus. Okay? Jesus, oh, I got to leave this out because this is announcements. Jesus is, He defeated death. All right, think about that just for 1 minute. This is the spirit versus the flesh, right? He defeated death. Okay, what if a doctor, no matter what age you are, I mean, people die early nowadays. I mean, people have cancer as a kid nowadays. But what if a doctor tells you as a believer, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that you only have 6 months to live? Do you really think that's God's best? That you die at 30, 40, 50, 60, or even 70, 80? It doesn't matter. In other words, when you start living in the Spirit, you find the Word of God on your behalf. Why? Because you're an heir of God and you're a joint heir with Jesus. So there's scriptures that says God wants you to have a long life, a long and satisfied life, if you'll live by the Spirit and not the flesh. Again, what does it say right before in these passages? Verse 12, it says, if you want to live by the flesh, you can. You can. But you could die. And you could die before it's time. But if you get revelation that you're going to live by the Spirit of God, then all the benefits that Jesus did is for you. So when a doctor says, like they said to me, y'all know the story, Crohn's disease, I decided to believe the Spirit that by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I confessed it over and over and over and over and over. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, this pain's gone. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, you already did it. Thank you, Jesus, I received that by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. That's being in the Spirit. But in the flesh, well, call mama. Looks like I'm going home. I'm dying. It's over. What's wrong, Papa? Well, the doctor says I've got cancer, and he says I'm going to be dying in about 4 months. So I just need to warn all y'all, in 4 months I'm gone. Love all y'all. Love everybody. Papa be gone in 4 months. And guess what happens? Papa's gone in 4 months. Now, didn't say he didn't get to go to heaven, thank God. If he was born again, he went to heaven. But if you want to live in the Spirit, why wouldn't you rather, since you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, why wouldn't you say, I believe I'm going to believe the report of the Lord, the great physician that says I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm going to believe that from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, my body lines up with the Word of God, the Spirit of God. Therefore, I am healed and I'm going to continue to live. Body, I speak life over you and not death. What you're doing is you're living in the Spirit. But again, if you want to live in the flesh, well, you know, my diabetes, my high blood pressure, my. Wait a minute, it's not yours. The Bible says, cast the care on Jesus. He died so that every sin is covered by the blood that he shed, right? So why wouldn't we believe that? That's living in the Spirit. But the flesh, I'm not going there. Thank you, Lord. I was going to a place, but I'm not going there. If you live by the Spirit, though, you start speaking what the Spirit says. The Word of God says, that's the Spirit. And the Word of God says, don't you. Now, we believe the fact of what the doctor said, but that's not the truth. The truth is the Word. The truth is you're healed. The truth is you're an heir of God. The truth is you're born again. You are someone. Y'all are special. You're God's girls. When them boys try to mess with you, you just go, what'd you say? What'd you say to me? You gotta be a little older to know that. That's a movie. Anyway. Should I have done it up where everybody could see? All I did was Karate Kid, you know. Misaki. What's his name? Miyagi. Misaki. That's the flesh, that sake stuff. They try to give it to you at Japanese restaurants. Okay. See, that's the flesh. Let's get back to the Spirit. You see how easy it is to start talking and thinking sake? When that happens, it's a good teaching moment, praise God, that the pastor started. When you start thinking fleshly things, that's just the enemy trying to get you to meditate on all that stuff. And she said, nope, hang on. Or like when me and Seth or London, when we rodeo, I mean, the enemy's constantly wanting to battle the mind, right? You can ask any of us, wow. That's when you got to stay in the Spirit. Nope, I'm not going to think about that last miss. I'm not going to think about that last knockdown barrel. I'm not going to think about, a bull rider would say, getting hurt. I'm going to stay in the Spirit. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above this bull and not underneath him. That's what I'd be saying if I rode bulls. The point is let's stay motivated. You're going to leave this church, right? And you're going to go out there in a world. Don't live of it, but you're going to be in it. If we start living in the Spirit, God's ways. And you might have to call and say, hey, I'm going through this. We do it all the time. I still do it sometimes. I've had to get counsel for my spiritual fathers, my spiritual mom, my actual mom that's probably watching. There's been times when I've had to say, Jamie, sit down. What do you think about this? There's nothing wrong with that, y'all. But listen to me. We've got to stay in the Spirit all the time and not do the things that we're going to walk into out in that world. Okay? And if you do that, you live in the Spirit, you'll have peace. You'll have joy. Now, you'll still have to go through some things, but you'll know how to go through them. You won't meditate on all the crud. You'll get on through the stuff. Amen? You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir. You're motivated, praise God. So let's stay that way in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen? Come on, give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just the Word of God. We need to have understanding of the Spirit and the flesh so that we live by the Spirit, the great things of the Spirit like peace and joy and all the good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And we're not going to live by the flesh any longer, Lord. So we need help. We need wisdom. We need to continue to get revelation. We need to mature in Christ Jesus. So thank you for that. Thank you for this word. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you born again? Is Jesus your Lord? If he's not, I want you to confess this prayer with all of us. You ready? Say this right now. If you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer with all of us right now. We're all going to pray it. Ready? Say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, forgive me of any sin because this day is my God day because Jesus is Lord. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord, my Savior, my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. The only reason I want you to bow your head, just number one, honor of God. And then if you don't mind, just not look around, just in honor of anyone around you. I'm not here to embarrass anyone because this is a decision that no preacher can make you do. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus, I believe you're born again. You have the helmet, the Bible says. It's in Ephesians, it's cool. You got a helmet of salvation on. But you need the rest of the body to be, you know, like the breastplate of righteousness. You clothe the rest of your body so that it doesn't get attacked and beat up, etc. But the first part is getting that helmet of salvation on, giving your heart to Jesus. Because John 14 says that you will not go to heaven except through Jesus. Because he says it this way. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer and Jesus was not your Lord, but he is now, you meant that prayer. I'm not saying you prayed it again and again and you're getting saved over and over. Nope. If your spirit is born again, it's born again. And you need to have confidence in your salvation. No matter what kind of sin you've done. If you've got Jesus as Lord, then you're saved, born again. You don't have to raise your hand again. But if you just gave your life to Jesus this morning, when I count to three, get that hand up. And do it with boldness. Just like Jesus was when he died on top of a hill. In front of the whole world, y'all. And he was not ashamed. I'm just asking you, don't be ashamed of the one that you just gave your life to, Jesus, and gave his life for you. If you just prayed that prayer and gave your heart to Jesus this morning, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and then put it right back down saying, I just gave my life to Jesus. And I want to see the hand. And I want you to do it, the count of three. Ready? If that's you, get that hand up saying, I just gave my heart to Jesus. One, two, three, go. Anybody? All right, look at me, everybody. That means everybody in this church is born again. Thank God for that. Amen. So, how many of you know that there's people out there, though, probably, that need Jesus? When we live by the Spirit, we're gladly, we gladly tell them about our Savior. Amen? Because that's just how we live. We want them, no matter how bad they were to us, we want them to go to heaven, not hell, if Jesus is Lord. Amen? If you live by the flesh, you might think the thoughts of, you know, I don't care what happens to them. But really, we want everybody to go to heaven. Amen? Thank God for forgiveness.